Hey, hey, it's your girl KV.
And Celine.
And we are back with another episode of the Hood Health Report. So today we have a guest, as you see. You can introduce yourself, because it was just a little quick blurb. We'll get into it with some questions and then we'll get into this or that.
Well, my name is Dr. Godfrey Fain, and I'm a doctor of acupuncture and Chinese medicine.
Okay. We do a lot of
clapping.
That's
energy. Right. Energy. I love it.
Okay, so we like to start off our episodes with our guests with a little game of this or that, just to learn a little bit more, get a little, you know, ease into the conversation.
Who said that?
So our first this or that, PWI or HBCU?
I went to PWI, so I gotta go with PWI, yes.
Okay, what school did you go to?
University of Memphis.
University of Memphis. What was your major?
Exercise and sports science.
All righty. Celine?
Also PWI. I went to the University of Memphis, health science.
Go Tigers, go.
Yeah.
I always say both, I suppose. I went to an HBCU for undergrad, Spelman College, and I went to University of Memphis for grad school. So, both.
Best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds.
Okay, so next one, coffee or tea? Do you have a preference when you wake up in the morning?
When I wake up in the morning, it's usually like just warm water, but tea. I'll do tea.
You are a warm water person.
Warm water person.
Yeah.
My husband used to wake up with warm water, and I'm just like, okay, it's so interesting on the system. But I guess it's got good benefits and stuff like that, huh?
Yeah, usually what it does is it prepares your body to hydrate.
Okay.
So anything with, you know, any kind of like food related, like whether if it's a lemon, whether if it's some kind of tea in it, it's more so of, all right, we're feeding the digestive system so it stays in there versus, all right, we want the specific function of hydration. So that's why we, well, why do warm water?
Okay. I'm going to switch on over. You ain't got to sell it to me. I am a tea person, but I do drink coffee. I go back and forth, but I drink tea like every day. So, yeah,
I like to start my day with tea as well. I drink a lot more tea than I do coffee, but with my new job that I have now, I work from 7 to 3:30, so I'm getting up sometime at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
Right, so by like 1 o'clock, I'm like, I do need some coffee.
A little extra.
I need a little kick, but I don't like hot coffee. Like, I can't get down with the hot coffee, so I get like the little jug of, what is it? International House or something House, the little iced coffee that comes in the refrigerator. I got like mocha and caramel flavor. I do that if I need some coffee, but yeah, mostly tea for me.
Nice. Do you have a preference of tea? Like, what's your favorite tea?
Ooh, I like green tea.
Hibiscus. I love hibiscus.
That's what I'm drinking on now. There's actually this little place downtown, what is it? I can't remember the name of it. My friend went for a Galentine's Day.
Enchanted.
It has like an extensive list of teas to choose from. They got oolongs, blacks, green teas. They just have all different teas and have like 10 to 15 different flavors under each tea. And they're black owned.
Oh, okay.
Do they have where you can like buy? Okay.
You can buy the little tin canister of tea as well. Yep. So that's be something to check out. I was like, oh, they got some really good teas, even teas that taste like coffee. So that was just kind of like...
Interesting.
Okay, nice. All right.
Got to check that out.
You got a preference on tea?
It depends on what type of the season it is. So like right now, I'm doing raspberry tea.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, the next this or that, herbs or spices?
Herbs or spices?
Herbs or spices.
Is there a difference?
A bit, yeah. Like an herb is what you would put usually in a tea. Sometimes I think like they consider like cinnamon, like that's a spice, right?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, again, it goes down to like when or what type of the season it is. So like wintertime, I like more spices. Mm-hmm. I like to stay warm. Mm-hmm. But if it's like a herb, when it's like spring, summertime, it keeps me cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like mm-hmm. a mint.
Exactly.
Yeah, as it's like it's starting to heat up now, I'm more on my mint kind of flow.
Exactly. That's true too, because I do the same thing with my teas. Mm-hmm. I have more spicy cinnamon type teas when it's cold out, and then I'll do more fruity, light, minty flavors when it's warmer out.
Yeah, I'm gonna say spice. I just like being warm, so like anytime I'm thinking warm. Like even when you said iced coffee, I still ain't got that. I do hot coffee in the summertime. I don't know. Uh-huh. Something about it. Something about hot.
Keeping it warm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, cupping or acupuncture. Which one do you prefer?
Oh, me, my personal uh-huh. is acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
But fan favorites that they love from me too as well, the patients. It's cupping. Mm-hmm. But me, I like acupuncture. Mm-hmm. Let's get straight to the point.
Yeah.
So the thing that scares me with the cupping is like I've seen it be done and then you have like the marks on your back.
Yeah.
So that kind of scares me away from ever wanting the cupping. Yeah. But I know I have to get away from that at some point because I do want to kind of experience it all and kind of see what works for me. Mm-hmm. How long do those marks stay on you?
Well, it depends on how much tension you're holding.
Mm.
And with cupping, it's actually a gentle technique.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, with the markings itself, when they're more deep, dark, and purple ones, that means, like, we've been, like, holding so much stress and, like, really working hard. Mm. And it's not like we're adding more suction to it. It's just what the body is presenting. So it's a really gentle and pleasant feeling.
Okay, because I'm like, how hard is this thing sucking to have all these purple marks down your back? Look like somebody been beating or burning you or something. Like, somebody back like that, I'm going to be ready to call somebody. Like, I think they're in danger.
No, it's nothing like that.
As a former athlete, I did both cupping and acupuncture. And I'll have to say, like you said, cupping, it isn't as painful as people make it out to be. Acupuncture, sometimes, like, if you hit the muscle the right way, your leg is going to twitch or something like that. Like, you can feel it, like, it does a little bit more to me than, I guess, cupping sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's hard to say. I like acupuncture, though, too.
Okay.
If you're doing it and you're not, like, in a bunch of already pain, got, like, a whole bunch of tension already going on. Because sometimes when you hit them points.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That muscle fasciculation is like, ooh, all right, I have to relax.
Mm-hmm. See, acupuncture scares me a little bit too because it's like you have to be still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't be that still sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have had a little bit of acupuncture when I first went to my chiropractor after having my child. He had put some needles in and stuff, and I was just, like, terrified, like, laying there tense. So I can't even remember, like, if I got any benefits from it because I was just laying there so tense, like, you can't move, you can't roll over, you can't sneeze, you can't. Like, I was just terrified that I was going to hit one of those
and
needles.
And just, like, goes into the
Something crazy is going to happen, like some type of horror movie.
You
I don't know.
It reminds me of that movie where they had, like, what was that movie where that girl had the acupuncture, she fell over on the side or something? And I was just like, I used to be scared of something like that happening to me. Like, it was like Final Destination, I think. And I was just like, ooh, that would just be so painful. But, I mean, I don't know.
The likelihood of
it. Yeah,
the likelihood of that is astronomically, like, no. It's not even
it's just a thought, though. Like, ooh, if I make the wrong move, it's over for me.
It's over.
And usually, like, when you put a right combination in of points, it actually relaxes the mind. So it's like, all right, I'm not even thinking about that anymore.
I was like, this one in my foot, this one in my arm, this one in my back, this one in my head. That's all I could think of. It's everywhere. It's all down my body. I can't move anything. But mm-hmm. something's going to happen. It's like I couldn't even enjoy it and try to feel what was going on because I was just terrified. I'm gonna have to get over it. Okay, we will get started into our interview questions. So first we want to know, what brought you to Chinese medicine? How did you go from, what'd you say your undergrad major was?
Exercise sports science.
Exercise sports science to Chinese medicine?
Yeah, so my interest in Chinese medicine precedes the exercise sports science. So back in 2007, when I was running track and field for AAU, my coach would always tell me, hey, go get acupuncture so you can recover. Mm-hmm. Right, so we used to have really good practices where we like super tense or have super tight hamstrings, and so we would go down to the down the street to get acupuncture. And so like I'm like, all right, I don't really need it right now. And one of my teammates, he actually got acupuncture. He had exercise induced asthma, and so we're doing the same events, 800 in the mile. And we would literally have to have his asthma pump at the finish line every rep, because it's like, all right, is he gonna pass out?
Right.
And so several months later, out of nowhere, he started to like actually break records, national records in the 800 and 1500. I'm like, what is going on? And so it's like, with an event like that, it's like I really got curious and started to look into acupuncture. Back in 2007, I was only 13 at that time. And then I got to actually study under and mentor under the acupuncture that used to treat us during undergrad. And once I got to work with him, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Okay. I really love this.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So can you break it down for us? What is Chinese medicine for somebody back home that might not understand or know exactly what that is?
That's like the number one question I get most of the time is, what is Chinese medicine? Mm-hmm. Well, Chinese medicine is an umbrella term used to describe several modalities. You have acupuncture, you have Chinese herbs, you have cupping, you have acupressure, you have Tai Chi and Qigong. All those are actually able to help the body create blood circulation. And so with Chinese medicine, it not only focuses on the body, but it focuses on the dynamics of the body and how it interacts with the environment. Mm. So when anybody asks you what Chinese medicine is, it helps create blood circulation to whatever challenge or health goal you're trying to get to.
Got it. That was a really good answer too. You broke it down great. I love that. You want to go next or you want me to go again?
Yes, I'll do, because kind of answered the second one already. So what schooling does it take to become a Chinese medicine doctor?
Oh, yeah, so you have to go to at least a 4-year accredited institute to become an actual acupuncturist. So for me, the school that I went to, I completed 4,500 hours. And so after I was able to complete 4,500 hours, therefore I had to take board exams too. Take 5 different board exams to at least practice in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And that's just for the doctor status. So if you're just trying to get your master's, it's only 3,000 hours, right? You have to have your, undergrad. So it took me about 8 years to kind of really tie all this together.
Mm-hmm. And what's like, so you know how people have like MD at the end of the name, what's yours?
DACM.
DACM. So
Doctor of Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine.
Okay.
So instead of saying that whole spiel, DACM.
DACM. Uh-huh. Okay.
And that is the highest standard of the position or the status that you can get in this field. So it's equivalent to a PhD.
Okay.
So I get that a lot too. Is it similar to a PhD? Yeah.
This wasn't a question on our list, but since you started talking, I want to know, what made you decide you wanted to be a doctor versus just being the master? Was there I would just want to be at the top of my game?
When I got there, yeah, that's a very good question, because when I first got there, I was like, I just want to get my license.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I knew you at that time.
I know what I want to do. I don't need all these extra credentials to do these. But with the extra education that I got, it actually made me broaden my scope of how to practice, because I was only going in to just treat physical pain. Mm-hmm. Right? And so with me going into extending my education, not only that I treat physical pain, but now it's the mental awareness or the mental emotion and the spiritual part of it. So it's like, all right, if I'm going on the track and stuff like that, of course I got a hamstring issue, but all right, I'm treating the muscle and it's not working. Well, why is it not working? Because in Chinese medicine, we have a saying is a thousand diseases start from the mind. So if you're constantly like in your day-to-day life of, you know, stressing about work, schoolwork and things like that, your muscles are gonna constantly tense up.
That's true.
So me, I'm treating the body, right? It's like, man, it's still coming back. It's still coming back. Well, we haven't treated the root cause. Which is why that's even in a lot of studies is most stress, most mental stress causes physical pain.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, wow, you can get somewhere with that.
So, yeah, I appreciate it. Myself now for going through that, but like
at the time
like nah. I'm just trying to get my degree and get out of here.
And then like one more subway question, sub I don't know what the word is, you're supposed to put after that. But a question to add on to that, I know you said like practicing, can you practice all over the United States or can you only practice in certain areas of the United States?
Yeah, so one of the exams that I had to take was specifically for California. So I started out with that one, the only place I could practice was for California. Now the other four exams that I can actually practice in the other 49 states, so I can practice in all 50 states.
Okay, that's awesome.
Okay, what is your favorite part about your job?
Oh, man. That is the patient interaction. Seeing how they bring in the challenges that they're trying to work with and seeing how it's unfolding, you know, day by day, minute by minute. In that teamwork, I always preach to my patients that it's a teamwork type deal. And so once we kind of set our goal or set our sights on a goal and we, you know, slowly inch that and that person kind of unravels to where they finally get to, that's the precious part that I like to see. And that's what actually makes me want to keep coming back into the office, keep coming back into to the office to see their progression of, man, they finally reached their goal.
Yeah, that's sweet. And then I have a different question. So what is a struggle that you've had to overcome as a black man in Chinese medicine?
Man, being able to explain this to my people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like the biggest struggle, but it's fun too. Because once we kind of find that idea of, all right, I'm speaking the same language. I'm now speaking the same language as my people again. Because we already have to, like, dissect the Chinese version of it and then convert it to, like, the Western medicine part of it. And now we got to put it back in layman's terms. So I got to go through different hoops on getting the education, unraveling the education and disseminate it to like common folk.
Yeah, how to present it. So you had to practice on how you gonna present it to us.
That was the biggest challenge, and it's still the biggest challenge today. It's like a constant art and craft that I'm constantly working on because you know, we got millions and billions of people in the world.
That's true. That is true.
I got a question that kind of popped in my mind when you were talking about your favorite part of the job. So if somebody's coming into your office for a visit, how does that work? Do they come in and say, hey, I want acupuncture? Do they come in and ask for anything specific? Or do you just kind of like ask some questions and kind of evaluate what it is that they need?
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a really good question. So when the person first comes in, the treatment itself is already all inclusive. And what that means is there's a flat rate of you get Chinese medicine.
Okay.
You get the acupuncture, you get the herbal consultation, you get the acupressure, you get all of that for one flat fee. And so after we kind of go through their unique story of the challenges that they're going through, I always ask them, all right, when did this problem start? Like, hey, what's on your mind? When did it start? Mm-hmm. Right? And, you know, how do you think it manifests now in this day, right here, in this day and age? And once we kind of connect those two right there, it's actually able to help them, you know, speed up their process of the emotions and the physical pain that they're in now. See, oh, this is where I kind of learned this from. Mm-hmm. Once we kind of got that idea into their idea or their connection to in their brain and things like that, then we'll get them on the table of like, hey, what do you come more comfortable with? You know, because everybody doesn't like needles.
Right.
I don't even like needles.
It's not everybody's cup of tea and things like that, and I respect that too. So we have acupressure. It's like I have patients to where I haven't even touched them with needles. Like we do acupressure. Or if it comes down to it, hey, are you interested in herbal formulas? We can make custom individual herbal formulas for you. And then, yeah, so we kind of give them options of that. And then some people, they get brave enough to actually try the acupuncture. And it's like, oh, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. It's like we're always thinking of, like, we're drawing blood out. Or it's like this huge needle that you got to jab into somebody.
The needle's really long. I know the whole thing don't go in, but the needle's long.
Tap, 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 tap.
And see, I don't do tap, tap because they
don't. Okay, what you doing?
It's a gentle squeeze.
Okay.
Because the tap, tap, mm-hmm. it like alerts you.
Yeah, I like, too.
Yeah, so you got to be really gentle with people when it comes down to it. And that can like really alert people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is acupressure? Is that like a massage or explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so acupressure is a style of massage. And how that actually works is we still know where all the acupuncture points are in the body. Mm-hmm. So instead of using a needle, hey, we'll use a thumb, we'll use fingers, we'll use the elbow, anywhere to kind of stimulate that point to where it can release, mm-hmm. whether if it's releasing physical pain or emotional trauma.
Okay.
So different than a massage.
It is. And like when people coming in and it's like, hey, so do you do massages? Well, it's not massage yeah. like how you think it is. It's not like when you go to a spa, it's like the Swedish soothing massage. Acupressure is still like a gentle technique and things like that, but it's not like a daily spa type mm-hmm. deal.
So similar to deep tissue or no?
Yes, similar to deep tissue. So what acupressure is, the common term for it is Tuina. Mm-hmm. T-U-I-N-A. And what that is push and pull. So you're gently working on the acupuncture points so the joints and the tendons are able to lengthen to create more space in the body.
Gotcha.
Right? So once we kind of get those, you know, create space in the body and things like that, the body is able to release those chemical reactions. We talk about endorphins, serotonin, dopamine, and mm-hmm. all those things. Because it's funny because I actually wanted to go into chiropractic work
yeah.
mm-hmm. right after school or, you know, right after my doctorate. And actually when in the extra 4,500 hours or those, you know, those extra hours, I really went into body works of Tuina massage or acupressure, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is actually the original chiropractic work.
Yeah.
So if I dive deep into this, I don't have to like spread my... you know, spread myself to another modality when mm-hmm. I'm already have the tools right here.
Gotcha. That's mm-hmm. so interesting. So another question, do you believe the saying health is wealth and why or why not?
Yes. Health is wealth. Wealth is what it means to you. Mm. Because wealth, some people may think it's like, you know, financial things. Wealth also can mean like keeping your sanity mm-hmm. or spending time with your family. So like, you know,
yeah.
if you're healthy, you're actually able to achieve whatever wealthy goal that you're trying to get to. Wealth is basically a goal
yeah.
That I think you're trying to reach or obtain.
And as you've been saying, that's your main thing is you want to get people to their goals. So, mm-hmm. so you're actually helping them throughout with their health is wealth saying. With the health is wealth saying.
Yeah, help them help themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the business of helping them help themselves.
Uh-huh. And so then that's the thing too, is like once you're actually educated, like I'm really big on education in the room, because I only spend an hour with you in the treatment room, and then when it comes out, when we come out of the room, we'll go our separate ways. It's up to you 23 other hours, the other 6 days a week, to kind of keep up those habits that we're doing those, you know, small, that small window.
Yeah, that's true.
So once you kind of have the education, the context around what you need to become healthy, you can actually stay healthy. Yeah. I don't want people to keep coming back to me and, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with them or anything like that. You know, you want people to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that's the big goal of, you know, being able to help somebody is giving that information to them to where they can help themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where they no longer need you. Kind of like walking a kid through, like, life steps, like pushing them on out the way.
Yeah. Because I think we also, too, in the lifestyle, too, of DIY, do-it-yourself.
Yeah.
So do you have a go-to herb or spice that you usually kind of recommend to your patients? Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, my PCP, she's like, before I even look at your blood work up, I know that people need more vitamin D. So I'm going to say get you some vitamin D supplements. Like, is there something as far as herbs and spices that you just kind of off-rip, like, yeah, you probably need this?
Yeah, with me, and it's like kind of anything else, is I have to know the context first, no matter how many people I've seen, and because I know like a lot of people can be like blood deficient or, you know, certain type. I still want to know the actual context around what that person is bringing me, because I can easily misdiagnose somebody and I don't want to do that. So like a general thing of, say for instance, herbs, as the springtime is coming, we want light herbs, free-flowing herbs such as dandelions or mint tea. Those are the things that actually help keep the tension that we're going to, you know, grab onto as it starts to get hot. When people get hot, people get agitated.
Mm-hmm. Sure do, and it be hot in Memphis.
Right? And then especially like in the 5 o'clock traffic and things like that, when people are really riled up, it's because, hey, it's hot. My AC ain't working. We ain't going nowhere. So you want to, during the springtime, you want to prepare yourself to become more cooler. And so when it really gets hot, we'll go more to like the cooler herbs or even the cooler vegetables. Cucumber water, celery water.
Mm-hmm. I hate both of those.
For real?
Yes.
You don't like cucumbers at all?
Mm-mm.
That's wild.
Do you like mint?
I can do a mint water.
Okay.
I can do a mint water. I used to do grapefruit water a lot. And what's the other one? Uh-huh. It's something else that I can't think of. Mm. But cucumber and...
Celery.
Oh, my God. Celery is the worst. Cucumber, I tried cucumber water before. It was just like...
Yeah. Well, that's actually a big remedy in Chinese medicine, especially during the summertime, to be able to cool your body. Because in Chinese medicine, ice is a no-no. Yeah, because it's... it sends the body, well, it sends the digestion into shock.
Into shock.
The digestion, it loves to be warm because it cooks our food before it digests. But if it's trying to keep the body or keep it at a regulated temperature while bringing in cold things in the body, it therefore it has to stay in the digestion before it goes down into the intestines. So if there's a traffic jam right there, that's where you start to see the bloating.
Right?
And then when it gets more extreme and things, that's where you start to see the gas or the flatulence. Got the normal term for it, but gas. Everybody know what gas is. But it creates gas pressure. It creates gas pressures in the stomach and intestines because of the temperature change.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Learn me something right quick.
And then in the fall, because you did ask me like the other herbs too. So like in the fall, you'll do like something like with pears, something that's like really moistening for the lungs. Our lungs get really dry during that time because it's cooling off. And so if the lungs are in the optimal health, functioning at its optimal ability, then therefore you're actually able to boost your immune system. because y'all notice in the fall time, oh, we got to make sure our immune system is up and things like that. Yeah, so like the lungs itself in Chinese medicine, it governs the immunity system right there. So we will always want to kind of take care of that before going into the fall, making sure they're moist, making sure it's able to keep our immunity system up. And then for the last season, which is winter, you want to do something warm. Since it's warm outside, we actually want to keep our body warm on the inside. So a herb or a spice that you can use is cinnamon or, you know, cinnamon twig and things like that to keep you warm.
Okay.
I know that was a long-winded answer,
no,
but
no,
it's...
No, I need it. Everybody's at home taking notes like this. Like, pear, okay, no ice.
This is no ice for me. Yeah.
So it's a loaded question. With each question, I have to, like, really kind of process it to make sure I'm not giving a blanket statement because...
Right.
When it comes down to health, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And I think we're starting to find that out more in modern-day health.
I agree.
Yeah. So with that, a spin on this next question, because you already kind of answered this question. What are some questions that you ask when you are formulating a tea blend to give to a patient? What are some questions that you're like, that are important? You don't have to go through a mob, but like, say like top two or three.
So the biggest things, we definitely want to kind of make sure we go across the allergens, make sure they're not allergic to anything. And the best thing about our, you know, formulas, they are custom individual. So like when we come up with a formula, we can actually take out herbs and add herbs that actually, you know, help out with them to the best. And repeat that question one more time.
Just what are some other questions that you ask to formulate that tea for people?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, make sure they are not allergic to things. Making sure that, hey, do you run warm or do you run more cold? Because I don't want to give them spice herbs because they run hot, because that it also can trigger other things such as, like, you could have skin rashes because it's so much heat building up. Or on the opposite end, if I add in cold herbs, if you run more cold, you can start having digestive issues. So those are the biggest things, allergies, and hey, do you run warm or cold?
I really like specific tea blends. I think it's really cool to, you know, not have to go to pills or some type of man-made medicine for things. I used to go to one little metaphysical shop around town, and he was so crazy with it. Like, he would barely even ask you questions. He'd just be like, hold your hand out. Stick your tongue out. Yeah, you need some of this, 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 and this. And I'm like, dang, you spot on. You know all of that.
You can see a lot in the tongue. Yeah, that's one of the things I kind of diagnosed from, especially in Chinese medicine, because that is the only internal organ that you can see outside of the body.
True.
All of the gases that come up from the stomach and brings the coat into the tongue and things like that. You can see the internal muscles and stuff like that. So we use those different indicators to see, all right, how's the body presenting itself? So it's a real helpful tool.
Okay. Tongue telling all your business.
It does.
Hold your tongue.
So, something you want the viewers to know back at home about Chinese medicine. So, like, one thing you want everybody to take away from this conversation that we're having.
Oh, man, that's a good question. So, when it comes down to Chinese medicine, it's a real big believer in self-cultivation. Well, what does that actually mean? It's actually saying bring more attention to yourself before you're able to give out to the world. So in the morning time, hey, wake up slowly, really see what's going on in your body and seeing what thoughts are coming into your head. Because whatever those thoughts that you start out with the day, you'll start to carry those on out in the actual world. So a way you can actually, you know, be able to be more, become more with your thoughts is meditation, breathing exercises. Once you kind of get that going, we're going to go back to the warm water. So always start off, the first thing that you do in the morning is start off with a warm cup of water, because once your digestion is able to flow, which is our first mind, then the second mind, the actual mind everybody knows, it starts to flow with it too. right? So those are the two biggest things is being able to meditate before you start and being with your thoughts and drinking that warm water before you start your day.
Give us your work motto, or like not even your work motto, a life motto that you have, something that you say or that you want people to take away as far as like something you live by.
Yeah, since I get a lot of questions that are very loaded, I would say everything in moderation. Examples like in this day and age, we think once we find this superfood, it's going to cure everything.
Elderberry. I feel like that's how people are doing elderberry.
You won't wear it out.
I show up and drink use elderberry.
Wear it out.
If your body is not presenting the signs that it's actually built for, it's only so much it's going to do for you. Because even with the healthier things, even water. So water, some people think that's like the most healthiest thing that you can do. Now, example of you overdoing it is actually when you're drinking a whole bunch of water and then you're flushing all the nutrients out. You're actually washing out all the foods and everything that you are using for your brain, you know, to be able to function out the system because it's a cleansing hydrator. It's a cleansing hydrator. So it's good at some point, but you don't want to brush or flush out all the nutrients that you put into your body.
So balance.
Everything in moderation. So that's where it's going to get to my motto is everything in moderation.
Got it.
That makes me think, like, I've like heard two or three instances of people dying because they've drank too much water in like a competition or something.
I saw that.
Die because they done shocked their system or whatever.
Shocked it, and it's like internal drowning. Yeah, we don't think about that. Like, all right, you can't drink a whole pool of water now and you come out healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything in moderation. And knowing the context around the foods and how your body interacts with it.
You were talking about shocking with the ice and everything. So cold water, you were saying no, ice water?
Yeah.
He says no all the time. He's been saying no for years.
Really? Yeah. Because it's there it is. Oh, is that ice or warm?
Ice.
Yeah. That ice water feels good sometimes.
It do, like in the moment and stuff like that, it does feel good because it's like, oh my gosh, all right, I feel like I'm cooling off. But what the body is going to say to itself is, uh-oh, there's something extremely cold, so let's kick up the heat in here so it don't get too cold.
That's why I put on my snug cap and I got hot.
Right? And then in actuality, once the body has, warmed that water back up, you actually become more hotter. Yeah. You actually become more hotter drinking ice water.
Okay,
it makes a lot of sense. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming and answering some questions and just letting us know the things about Chinese medicine. Yeah. I'm sure the viewers will definitely appreciate that.
I love it.
Also, give us your Instagram, social media, your business stuff. Tell the people.
All right, so I do have an Instagram that is Holistic Dynamics. That's really like the biggest social media where you're gonna find some of the TikTok reels I have about the information of Chinese medicine, or even some of the upcoming events that I'm going to be doing or speaking at. So if you want to learn any more information about this and like really get into details, that's going to be Holistic Dynamics on Instagram.
Okay, now we clap. Thank you again. So this is a wrap for this episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it. You can follow us on Instagram, which is Hood Health Report, as well as Facebook and Twitter, Hood Health Pod.
We also have a TikTok page now, Hood Health Report. Follow us there.
Yeah.
Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. All of the links will be in the descriptions and the bios for you to click on.
Tap, like, comment, do it all.
Subscribe, all of the things. Share it with a friend.
Yes.
Share it on your social media.
If you have a TikTok, make a little video, send it.
Let us know you're out there watching, guys. All right, now.